With us today, we got Joe, Trigger Joe Britson.
All right, let's go.
Oh! To try to get a matchup with Ngannou. Oh! Goes the roof! Francis Ngannou!
This is just a fist. When I start throwing it around, I can leave one hell of a mess. Let's dance.
Multiple occasions.
Wow.
It looks like they're going to swing to the very end.
And he wasn't kidding.
Wow.
It's very rare.
What a finish!
Another one.
Really poses the question, what do you want to do? Do you want to take a chance and risk getting knocked out?
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Trying to take care of business, trying to get to
It's a knockout!
Oh my
It's a
God.
Knockout!
And they're closing it! Trying to finish it! Hit it over!
Because I'm going to take this foot and I'm going to whop you on that side of your face. There's not a goddamn thing you can do about it.
Buck is brought to you by Modelo.
I killed it!
And, we have a new nickname. Okay, we have William Send It 7 Pearson. All right, other than that, we used to call him Willie Pete. We used to call him the Mad Russian.
I think you've had enough.
Noah?
Now you've had enough.
Bitch.
Wow. How good is this?
Finish him!
Another one.
Everybody gets triggered. It's just if you become a pansy. That's in the Book of Brawl.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
You gotta be very careful.
What's up, Trash Talkers? What's up, Gruntworks Nation? Anybody else watching in the metaverse or whatever? We are here finally again for UFC and then the NFC playoffs. I'm the big girl, all right? And with us is Bill, the champ, Send It 7, Pearson, and Trigger, Joe Britson, who has not changed his shirt in a week, all right? Because
that's true, folks. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But we did bet on UFC. We did bet on UFC last week. John Shaner's calling me right now because he doesn't follow our show, not knowing that we're live. We did actually get to bet on UFC because Dana White took marketing slap boxing to a whole new level, right? So like it's a weird approach, all right. But we heard that there was going to be a fight, and so I took Dana White's wife, right, and I lost. All right. I didn't think that there's any way that Dana would beat her up. So, Joe, do you got any analysis on this fight?
Yeah. I mean, coming from the inside intel, I hear that she's a volume striker. She thought she was going to come out and overwhelm Dana in that private suite that they had. And, you know, Dana White's a slugger from Boston, went back to his power punching roots, and he ended the night real quickly. So anybody that bet on Dana's wife lost. And crazy marketing ploy, but Dana White is a savage in business, so God knows what he's up to.
Yeah, but hey, for the record, I know our producer is losing his mind in the background right now. For the record, we do not condone that whatsoever, all right? But again,
I'm disgusted with the last 30 seconds of my life.
Yeah.
Full disclaimer.
Like, but what can you do, all right? Like, doesn't take away from the athletes that we're about to...
I don't
to,
make the news. I just report it.
Yeah. Jesus. But... anyways, we're going to go over the UFC fight card, and these guys are going to give you their locks, all right, at the end of the show, so stay there, and their parlays. And I'm going to give you a fight based on the person's name and the way they look. So don't listen to what I say. And then again, if you can't, if you don't have the money to gamble, don't do it, all right? Don't gamble. Just don't. If you got some scratch, extra scratch that you want to put down, hey, this is what we're here for. We made pretty solid money this year. Now that it's 2023, we're looking to make a lot more. And so then after that, we'll take a little bit of a break, and then we'll get into the playoffs for the NFL, which I think is actually easy this year. So because finally all these weird teams are just not, we don't have to bet on them anymore. So it's just, it works that way. But anyways, let's get into it. Now, UFC has, we've had a month break.
Yeah, it's been rough, man.
Oh, yeah, and we have to go early because Bill said at 7 has to hang out with the mother-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law. Huh. Hmm. All right.
This is one of those golden husband stars or die.
Yeah. Now, we all know that, you know, Bill's wife makes the picks for him. So that's why she gets to say, you're not doing the show at 2100 like usual.
I can see Tamara right now. You'd like, you want your intel cut off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hey, I bet you'll be ready.
It's true. I'm not gonna deny it.
But anyways, hey, if you're watching, go to our store. All right, you got veteranshop.veterantrashdrop.com or gruntworksclothing.com. Put in the code VTTGW during the show and get yourself a discount. We have hilarious shirts. And those of you watching, yes, we have shirts. Okay, now, oh, Tamara's watching now because she's like, I'm keeping a timer on this motherfucker. Like, she's like the RTO. She's like 30 seconds on target, 1 minute on target, and then you're all of a sudden Bill's just going to get like off. He's going to be ghosted. So, but hey, thanks for watching, Tamara. We appreciate it. Okay, let's get right into it. The first fighter, you know, the big girl's favorites, right? The bantamweights. These guys that weigh 135 pounds. Right, and every girl goes goo-goo for Cocoa Puffs. Look at his abs. It's because there's nothing else there. Right, the dude's like 5'1". Right? Like, I literally can get in the worst shape of my life and fart this guy out of the ring. But anyways, we got Nurmagomedov at 15-0 versus Borcelos at 17-3. Now, I saw a hilarious meme that says every first fighter, when they get to go into the UFC, they're fighting a guy whose first or last name they can't pronounce. It's from Eastern Europe or the Middle East. And you're like, shit. All right. So I'm going to go with Umar by spinning hammer fist, first round KO. Bill, what say you?
First, Nurm is going to kill him. I mean, he's coming in. When I made my initial parlay earlier, where he was a minus 1100, I think it was. It floats between there and like a minus 975. He's another Dagestani guy who's going to put you on your back and just grind you out and go for a submission. And Barcelos is really his stepping stone. I mean, Barcelos might make it to a decision. I don't think he is. If you want to get ballsy, I think the under on this is actually kind of safe. But it's definitely going to be Nurmagomedov. Go money line. You're not going to get a lot of money on it. So if you want to try to make either stick it with a long parlay, which I'll give you a pretty decent one later, I'll get you to about a plus 1,000, or just pick the under on it. But Nurm for sure. But I got him by submission late first.
All right, Joe, what say you?
Yeah, there's a, you know, there's this cloud of mystique surrounding anybody with an off coming out of Dagestan, but Umar Nurmagomedov truly is in the top one or two prospects coming from Khabib himself, saying that Islam is obviously number one, being that he's the god of the lightweights right now. And I don't see him get beat for a while, but they're saying Umar literally is the next prospect in line for a championship or for a title shot. And that's what they're grooming him to be. He's 26, 15-0, power wrestler. Barcelos is a solid guy. And these fight odds are absolutely BS. Thanks for nothing, Las Vegas, because this should be like a minus 300, not minus four digits. You know, they're disrespecting Barcelos with that number. I think maybe has a little bit of success kicking that lead leg, and then Umar turns into a power wrestler. And while they're dry, goes ahead and gets his submission, and I don't think it goes out of the first round. So
he's Bill actually,
I both have Umar by first round submission.
And he's actually Khabib's cousin, and was coached by Khabib's dad his whole life. So
he's a legit. That guy has only coached champions. His two proteges were Khabib and Islam, and look at what those two have done in the UFC. Incredible. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to say, you guys don't go on Facebook that often, but old Hoot, he shared a picture from his training days back in the 80s, and he was just sitting there at a bar with Gracie and some other guy with a mullet that was real famous back then. I don't know if you could probably name the names, but it's like...
Seagal? Van Damme?
No. Like actual fighters, not you know, champions. These guys, they're animals, all right? So, like, when they're that good and they're that, like, you just, how do, I don't even fight them. I'm like, hey, man, thanks for the offer. Like, here's the high five. But it's like,
how you do that.
Yeah. But, all right, let's go to the next one. Now we're in Bill's arena, all right? And we got a woman's bantamweight fight. We got Vieira. Sure. All right. Vieira at 13-2 versus Raquel. All right. Pennington at 14-9. Now, I did some digging into this fight. And, you know, obviously Raquel was the popular girl in school, right? Made fun of everybody. And then, you know, how the other girl comes in finally in the movie, you know, comes and punks her out. I'm going to go with, what was her name? Ketlin. For all of the made fun of girls in school, Ketlin's going to do you a solid and knock Raquel out. All right, Joe, what say you?
Kind of like Johnny and Daniel LaRusso, except that movie's about Daniel LaRusso being a bully and Johnny's the good guy.
Johnny was the good guy. So
true story. Ralph Macchio's a bully. Anyways, on this one. Stop it. Gross. Okay, you put a woman's fight on the main card. Yay, whatever. But man, get your grill ready, dude. Do something besides watch this fight and put in a bet for the over. That's pretty much the best pick I can give you here. But I will take Ketlin Vieira by decision. Possibly Pennington could be a good underdog pick because neither one of these girls has a whole lot of damage, and Raquel Pennington's a good wrestler. So you know how boring that can get. Very evenly matched in competition. I'll pick Ketlin Vieira for the sake of having to make a pick, but I am not betting on either one of these girls. I am betting on the clock to run out on both of them before either one sheds a drop of blood. So Ketlin Vieira by decision, but the play here is the over in my book.
All right, very nice. And then you got George Marshall from Florida saying, what's up? What's up, George? Thanks for tuning in. And then again,
good name.
Yeah, make sure you look at those things going across the screen. I know our producer put him in yellow because he's a Marine, and it's like the hardest color to read. But it's BTTGW. All right, that's the code. Go to our store. Buy a shirt, George. Rep the brand. All right, Bill, 7-7, what say you?
Almost identical words that came out of Joe's mouth. Here's the thing. I'm leaning on Pennington just because she's fought the better people in her career. Absolutely do not bet this fight money line. This is an absolute snooze fest. Give you some stats. Ketlin Vieira, 6 of her last 7 fights went to either unanimous or split decision. Raquel Pennington, 7 of her last 8 went to decision or split decision. They are going to go in there and kitten slap each other for 3 rounds. Avoid, try to do a little bit of a ground game. None of them have hard power. None of them are great grapplers. It is very evenly fight because evenly matched because they both kind of suck. They both don't stand a chance of winning the belt in their weight class. And this is absolutely going to go to a decision. Bet the over on my bookie. The last over was, I think, a minus 307 or something like that, minus 320. Money line, you're looking at a minus 110 and plus 110 either way. Put it in a parlay, but take the over on this. This is going to a decision. This is going to be a boring-ass fight. Start the grill, run to the store, make a beer run. You're not going to miss anything.
Yeah, you got what? You got 15 minutes plus some TV time, so about 20 total. Yeah.
Take a nap. This is not going to be a great fight to watch. But take the over 100%. I will talk about it in my parlay early, but you will not see me bet this fight money line.
All right. There you have it, fight fans. We got through the first two. No problem. All right. Now we go to a middleweight fight. And we got Soriano at 9-2 versus Roman Kapilov at 9-2. Now, I believe I called Roman last time and you guys disagreed because he is the founder of Romans for erectile dysfunction. So he gets a pass when he tests high for testosterone because it's literally his own product. So I got to go again here with Roman with the double ear slap, testosterone strike to the face, second round. All right, Bill, what say you?
Joe and I actually talked a lot about this fight today, to be honest with you. I don't really like this fight. For betting wise, I'm leaning on Soriano. Here's why. Kapilov's only got three fights in the UFC and he lost the first two of them. Kapilov's biggest problem is you put him on his back, he's like a turtle. And so if Soriano has any camp worth a shit, they're going to know you take Kapilov down and don't try to stand with him. So I got Soriano. Possibly submission, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is another long, boring decision where Soriano just keeps putting him on his back and just holds him there. I guess Soriano by decision would be surprised with a sub, but if you're going to bet this one, take Soriano. Kapilov just doesn't have a ground game, and in a sport like this, you got to be diverse. The old days of UFC where you could be really good at one area is gone. The days of Chuck Liddell, hey, I'm only going to be good at striking and get back up, those days are gone. You got to have multifaceted game. Kapilov doesn't have it yet. So Soriano, decision.
Very nice. Very nice. You know, and we got Chris Perez from Tejas coming in and saying hi. The greatest country in the world is Texas. I'm trying to get 7 down here. Maybe one day that'll happen. All right. Trigger Joe, what say you on this fight?
All right. We got a battle of some up and coming prospects here, both at 9-2. Soriano, I soured on early in his career because of how he looked against Brendan Allen. And then he lost a split to Nick Maximoff. And I thought, here we go. This guy's another flash in the pan. And he comes out and knocks out Dolce Ilimbuka. I don't know how I did that name. I think I did it absolutely
Isn't that a incorrectly, Cologne?
But we're going to roll with it.
Lujimbula or something like that?
For Dolce. Yeah, for
Dolce and Gabbana. What is that? But, like, is that like a
yeah? He knocked out Dolce and Gabbana, but he looked really good in that fight.
I thought I heard
and
of him.
It was good to see that Soriano's got that pop because I wasn't sure against Brendan Allen, but Brendan Allen is a huge 185er. Kapilov is not. He's a good striker, but he's got a striker's build. He's long and lean, and I think Soriano implements his grappling here. You know, basically puts Kapilov like a fish out of water. And then because he's scared of the takedown, he catches them a couple of times. And you see the maturation of Punella Soriano as he's looked to improve on each fight. And he has. So I was leaning Kapilov, and he wouldn't be a bad upset pick. But I'm going to go ahead and say Soriano gets it done, wins a unanimous decision, 29-28.
All right, fight fans, there you have it. Now we go to the co-main. All right, and those of you watching, if you wonder why the Big Earl's picks are so squared away, it's because I'm drinking 10th Mountain Bourbon. All right, so go to 10thwhiskey.com and put in the code VTT, and you'll get yourself a discount on some pretty solid bourbon. Now, their distillery is on the grounds where 10th Mountain in World War One was created, so they do a lot of good things for veteran and veteran causes, so go give them a little love. All right. The co-main is a featherweight fight, and you got Ige at 15-6 versus Jackson at 22-4. Now, I got to look at what Chris puts up here, but look at Jackson's face, right? Like, I don't know. How does he have 22 wins? It looks like he's, like, just been beat up, right? And his jaw.
He looks like he's handing out orange slices at his kid's soccer practice. Yeah, I don't. He just drove a minivan.
Yeah, what is this
and
guy?
He has a polo and a gut.
what is this guy doing? There's no way I can go with Jackson. So I'm going Ige by reverse double heel hook. All right. So, I mean, trust me, it's a wicked one. And so let's go with Joe. Joe, what say you?
You know, the co-main event was supposed to be Rachmaninoff against Jeff Neal, which in my mind would have been the best fight on the entire card.
Yeah.
We lost that one. So this is now our co-main. And Dan Ige has been on a skid. But Nick actually was closer to the center of the dartboard than he knows on that one. I think Damon Jackson's resume has been padded. I don't think he's been near the level of competition. If you look at Ige's losses, they've been to top flight dudes. And I think he gets himself back on track here. He's one of those guys that's got that dog in him. He's never been knocked out. He's very hard to finish. He'll stay on your feet, stay in your face. And I don't think Damon Jackson's submission game is going to be enough to outstrike and outwork Dan Ige. And I think he gets a very workmanlike, unanimous decision. But I'm going with Dan Ige here to get it done.
All right, very nice. Let's go to the champ. All right, now those of you, we have to trigger Joe at some point because he is Trigger Joe. The reason that we call Bill the champ is because he has, for the last 2 years, completely destroyed Joe at picking. And anytime that we try to get, you know, the infantry guys try to get a point back, all right, Joe just lets us down. All right, a lot of times I'm the one that assesses the points, and you look into Joe's eyes and sunglasses, right? And you can just tell, like, oh, he's got to win. He's so sure. And then, oh, fuck. Right. So, anyways, the champ, what say you?
I'll give you two comments here. If I'm betting this fight, take the over. I was leaning on Jackson all day just because I don't like betting chalk on an entire fight card. So if I'm going to take an underdog, I'll take Jackson on this just because, as Joe said, Ige's been on a skid. But here's why I'm leaning towards Ige, and this is Ige has never been finished. He is just a junkyard dog. You are not finishing Dan Ige, and I don't think Jackson has that finish in him to take out someone like Ige. Ige's going to force you into those deep waters, as we talk about. And Jackson's been finished twice in the first round off – some crazy stuff before too, like a flying knee and a wacky spinning kick.
Double heel hook.
Yeah. Ige's just been tough, and as Joe talks about, he's been on a skid, but if you look at his last three, he's lost three in a row, which is a problem, obviously, but they were all decisions. And it was Evloev, Josh Emmett, and Sung Young, which are not bad losses. Beat Gavin Tucker, then took Calvin Kattar to a decision. And before that, beat Edson Barbosa. The win-loss ratio there could be a little deceiving. He's fought top-notch guy and brought them all to decisions. And Jackson just doesn't have that resume yet. I mean, if he wins this, this could start to set him apart. I just don't see it. I think Ige is going to force him into a fight Jackson's not ready for. Ige's been there before. So I'm going Dan Ige decision. I wouldn't really lean towards a money line. I might do it in one of my parlays, but really the safe bet on this one is take the over. I think Ige is just going to drag him deep into the fight, at least until the over, and force Jackson to fight a fight he doesn't want to do. So Dan Ige, decision.
Very nice. And for the record, I've always finished. All right, just putting it out there.
Sometimes really quick.
Hey, bet the under sometimes. All right, let's.
Sometimes the under hits.
Sometimes the under hits real fast. All right, anyways, let's go to the main event. All right, we got a light heavyweight fight. This is what I'm talking about. We got some beefcakes going in the ring. All right, and we got Strickland at 25-5 versus Imhoff at 12-3. Now, I'm going to go against all of my betting principles, and I'm going to go with the old man here. I'm going old man Strickland by absolute destruction. All right, because he's gonna do it for all the old guys out there, and he will finish. All right. Is it Joe's turn or Bill's turn? We'll go Bill. What say you?
He's 31 before we move any farther ahead, but that's all right.
Yeah, he's old. He's old.
I mean.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The champ, what say you?
Let me say this up front. The odds are pretty close. The last I checked was plus 115 for Strickland. Imo was a minus 135, something like that. Yep. I will tell you right now, I'm in the emotional decision maker on this one. I hate Sean Strickland. I think he is just the worst. He's coming off 2-0. He had a good fight against Cannonier. Pereira smoked him, which isn't a bad thing. But Imamov is on a tear, and I think they're building him up to throw some more talent in that weight class, and I think he's going to win it. I went with third round TKO on this one, but I wouldn't be surprised if this goes to a decision. I just – and Joe and I talked about it earlier before the show started is Strickland just fought. Dude, I mean, he's been super busy, got in that motorcycle accident. He just needs to – he really needs to take a break, first of all. And that last fight he did with Cannonier was not an easy fight. He got beat up a little bit. I think Imamov is just better than he is. I think Strickland is way overrated. Imamov will be in my parlay and is actually one of my locks. So I got Imamov, third round KO, but don't be surprised for a decision.
Awesome. There you have it for champ. All right, Trigger Joe, what say you?
Yeah, that's pretty much spot on where I was going. I had Imamov over Gastelum before Gastelum ran his mouth too much and somebody put a knee in it, and that's how he was injured in training. It's a great training partner. Knees the guy in the mouth. Good job, idiot. You're fired. But Imamov just beat Joaquin Buckley, just KO'd Edmund Shabazian, KO'd Ian Heinisch, lost a majority decision to Phil Hawes that I don't really even think he lost.
Nope.
He's been on an absolute tear. I've got him winning this fight by either TKO or sub, but I got him under the distance. So you can pick him double chance on FanDuel, and it should pay out quite nicely. Sean Strickland does have the ability to jab this thing into a snooze fest if Imamov chokes, but I don't think Imamov will. I think he's going to come out there, handle business, and Strickland's in the ring because he just wrecked his motorcycle last week. So he's a lunatic. He's actually taken back-to-back main events on fight nights, and he did just lose a war to Jerry Cannonier. So I don't see how he's ready, and Imamov has been training for Gastelum with a full camp. So I got Imanov winning. I'm going to say just by finish somewhere in the third round, he either finds a sub or clips Strickland and finishes him on the ground. So take Imamov and take him under the distance if you want to make a little bit of extra money. But money line, he's a good value play, and he's one of my locks as well.
See, I wish I would have that insider knowledge of this motorcycle wreck beforehand because, one, I don't pay attention to UFC except for Dana slapping people. But this should make you take Strickland all day. This is the kind of guy that's willing to go nuts on a motorcycle. Like, this is going down. This is the kind of guy you want kicking indoors. Who was that Sergeant Major of the Army, Chandler? That was his name? Yeah, when he was like, you know, no tattoos, no motorcycles. It's like, he must be a truck driver. Like, I don't get why you don't want guys who want tattoos and motorcycles in the infantry or combat arms. Like, that's exactly who you want. Like, that is, that's who's going to kick down a door, not knowing what's behind it. But either way, let's get into the part where I make money. This is what I like. Now take your pens out. All right, and this is, you can watch any UFC show you want. All right, you can watch ESPN with, what is it, Chael Sonnen. He's always on there. And, like, some other guy, is that even his name, Chael Sonnen? Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, so, like, they're not even close to what Bill and Joe do, all right? Again, if you're listening and you're not watching, same thing, take your pen out at this moment, all right? This is when you make money. And we'll keep triggering Joe again on this is, don't bet like Joe. Bet what Joe picks, right? Because if Joe actually bet on what he picks, he'd have a lot nicer glasses. That's all I'm saying. But either way,
Foster Grant's $14.99. No big deal.
He would definitely have some Ray-Bans if he just didn't throw in that East Chattanooga State game.
Nobody wears those anymore.
Yeah. But all right, let's hit it, Joe. We're gonna stick with you. Let's go with your locks, your parlays, and your DraftKings sleeper.
All right, my locks are Umar Nurmagomedov. Definitely lock that in. Imamov, I really do like him to get it done against Sean Strickland. And I think I'm going to go ahead and lock in Rebeski over Fiore on the prelims. And those are my three locks. Those are my three locks. So, you know, I don't have a true DraftKings sleeper. all I can tell you is this Mendonca against Bacharat, he's 10-0. He's a plus 270. You're going for a DraftKings sleeper. You want to get somebody cheap. Hey, why not take a guy who's 10-0? Not the way I'm going to bet that fight, but maybe he scores you some points. So DraftKings sleeper is kind of null and void and not really that important this week because I don't feel strong about any of them. Just lock in the cheapest guy with the best record you can. And let's roll on to the parlay because I do feel pretty good about this one.
Ooh,
starting
let's
with the
go.
First fight of the night in the prelims. I like Charles Johnson over Jiminy Flick. I'm sorry, you cannot win with a name like that in MMA. So take
only,
Charles
only
Johnson.
Only in Disneyland.
Yeah. The next fight is Dan Argueta against Aguiar. And both of these guys have a ton of finishes. I actually like the underplay in that fight. So go Charles Johnson, then Argueta and Aguiar under the distance. And Argueta does fight out of Jackson Wink, so hopefully it's him that gets knocked out.
Yeah, we don't like that.
The next fight, take Nacimiento over Hernandez. Then the very next fight, take Robeski over Fiore. Take Bacharat and Mendonca, or Mendonca, however you say that last name, under the distance also.
Ooh.
Then Umar. Then Dan Ige, then Imabov.
What is that?
And that is it. Oh, good Lord. If I had my stats right in front of me, because that parlay was put together just before showtime, because I literally been looking for that long, I will let you know, and we can definitely put it up and see how we do, because I'm going to track stats. We just started 2023. I want to actually have legit stats to see what our percentages are this year.
Hey, Joe, read that off again. I'll do my bookie one real quick. Get you the odds.
All right, here we go. All right, here we go. All right, Charles Johnson money line.
Yep.
No, we already got Bill. Go ahead.
Argueta and Aguiar under the distance. Nacimiento over Hernandez money line. Robeski over Fiore money line, even though he'll probably destroy him. Bacharat and Mendonca under the distance.
Hey, hold on one second. No, just all keep right. Going. I might redo it. Go.
Umar, Dan Ige, and Imabov.
My bookie's freezing on me. Hold on.
Yep.
Okay, Nacimiento, Robeski are the other two. Yep. And then Bacharat Mendonca under the distance.
Bill's been betting Eskimo cockfights up in Lewis, and he had to take the money that he had to get internet away. That's why my bookie's
So that's an eight-fight parlay. Johnson money line under the distance for Argueta Aguiar. Umar money line. Ige money line, Imedov money line. You said Nacimiento money line.
Yep.
Rebecca money line and under for the Bacharat fight. That is plus 2482
on DraftKings.
DraftKings. Nice.
Hey, can they hear you? Can they hear you, Chris?
They can hear me.
Good. Okay, well, we don't ever know what you with you.
I know. A $10 bet will pay you $258.
Nice. $10 pays you $258.
It's about the same in my bookie.
All right. Yeah. My bookie's offshore where all of us degenerates gamble on. So we have to eat the odds when we do. But all right. Let's go to the champ. All right. Who do you got on your locks, your parlays, and your DraftKings sleeper?
Okay. Like Joe, I don't really have a true DraftKings sleeper I feel good about. So the Mendonca one. Or Mendonca, whatever you want to say. That's probably your safe bet. My locks are easy. Umar, easy lock. Vera Pennington over on that one is a lock. They are definitely going the distance on that one. And then Matheus Rebecki versus Nick Fiore. 100% a lock. Here's the thing with that one. He's fighting Nick Fiore 6-0. One, Nick Fiore is taking this fight last minute. So he is not ready for this fight. And Nick Fiore is 6-0, and the best guy he's fought was 9-5.
He did fight a guy that was 15-99, right?
No, he fought a guy that's 16-166.
Yeah, same dude, but he was 15-99 when he fought him. Yeah. No, that's crazy.
That's his talent he's been fighting.
What is this, like a pride or something?
He's a can crusher.
It's one of these weird other freaking leagues that nobody cares about. That's why he's still fighting at 16-100. So Rebecca is definitely a lock, and I'm willing to put Imamov in there, but the three locks are Umar, Rebecca, and Pennington Vera over. So my parlay I'll give you is Umar, Vera Pennington over, Imamov, Nascimento, Rebecca, and the Ribeiro fight. Take the under on that one. And then one other one I'll throw in there is to make it an 8-fighter. If you want to get ballsy, take the Ige fight to the distance. Take the over on that one. Oh, that'll and push you right around +1500, +1800.
Oh man, we got some big money to make this weekend. I feel good about it. And the Stone Vet is watching, and
oh my goodness.
You know, he's been a ghost lately, and you know, so he's coming back with some shows telling you what kind of cannon boys work. But Bill, did I cut you up before you had anything else going on?
Nope.
All right, perfect. All right, hey, take a little bit of a break, a couple of seconds, and we're gonna get into the NFL playoffs. All right, and we're gonna talk about those. Maybe I'll cry for a little bit, let Joe reap his reward. I might give him that satisfaction. Who knows? But in the meantime, fill up your 10th Mountain glass. If you don't have any 10th Mountain, go there. All right, go there. 10th Mountain Whiskey. Put in the code VTT, get a discount. All right, we'll see you in about 20 seconds. All right, and we're back. I hope that was enough time for you to refill your cocktails or whatever, but we got the NFL playoffs, which I can get into a lot of stuff about this, but before we get into it, last week, the big girl, this time is where I know some things, is where I kind of got you, I made you some money last week, and however, I actually did put $50 on Detroit Moneyline, Joe, so Detroit actually made me $135 off that $50 money line. So that's what happens when you hedge your emotions. All right. So at least I got to buy a nice bottle of bourbon. All right. after they lost. But again, Aaron Rodgers, I know you watch our show religiously.
Obviously.
Yeah. Please, for the love of God, take a pay cut, because you don't ever win in January, okay? Ever, okay? Take a pay cut, all right? Just
do it. Brett Favre won.
Yeah, Brett Favre won in January all the time. And he did lose a few NFC Championship games, but at least they weren't his fault. I mean, there was like just brutal.
At least the worst pass he ever threw in the playoffs was for the Vikings and not for the
Packers. But then again, I'm a Brett Favre fan. That pass should never happen because the Vikings had an illegal substitution penalty and took him out of field goal range. And it was like, I'm watching this game. I'm like, Brett Favre's going to throw this ball. It's going to get picked off. Like, this is what's going to happen. No, to Aaron Rodgers' credit, he did make a pass when they were still up by 3 to Romeo Doubs that he dropped. That was a 70-yard gain. Yeah. It was just like, you know, like, whatever, you got to make the plays. But either way, if you want big players, Aaron, you can't make $50 million a year. All right? The Chiefs paid Patrick Mahomes like $6 trillion. They had to get rid of Tyreek Hill. Right? Well, you're not Patrick Mahomes. You're not 28. All right? You're freaking 40. Okay? Like,
come on, man. You're not throwing to Juju Smith-Schuster and Travis Kelce either.
I mean, again, anybody who gets mad at the Packers drafting skills is retarded. All right. They've drafted very well. You know, you look at Christian Watson, like he broke Randy Moss's record. Okay. Like, I think they drafted a pretty good guy. Like, what's your problem, A-Ron? Like, I don't get it. But anyways, there's me crying. I got to cry so Joe can get his cheers, you know, and happy that it's Detroit Lions.
Lions beat, finished with an above 500 record.
and actually, Joe came at me on a text message with the best comeback I've had in a while when I was like, hey, at least the Packers get the draft before the Lions. And he's like, how did that work out for you last time? And like, I instantly knew what he was saying, but I was like, oh shit. So those of you who don't know, the last time the Packers drafted before the Lions, all right, we took Tony Mandrich before Troy Aikman and Barry Sanders.
How'd that work?
Okay. Yeah. All right. So again, this is our chance to redeem ourselves from 27 years ago or 30 years ago. The last
totally redeem yourself.
Last time we drafted before the Lions, and if we draft an offensive tackle, I'm jumping off my arroyo. I'm going off the edge. Like, so yeah, we did.
I hear man Derek's nephew's going into the draft this year. Maybe you guys will pick him up. That's an inside joke. The guys that played with him at Michigan State hated him, so they called him man Derek.
Well, because they all knew that he was taking roids. And then when he got to the NFL, they're like, everybody's like, you know, they test for that shit in the NFL, right? And he's like, what? And all of a sudden he just sucked. And it's like, oh, that's just great. But all the boomers will tell you that that was the right draft pick. Like, because I guess in college, that dude was just pancaking everybody. Like, everybody. And well, it's because he was shooting himself up with D-Bowl before we fucking came. But all right, I'm off my high horse. All right, the Lions didn't make the playoffs. The Packers didn't make the playoffs. All right, let's get into this. Let's make some.
So that just means we got a loser going into San Francisco that isn't one of those teams. But that's how we start our day off on Saturday. We've got Seattle going into San Francisco. San Francisco is a -9 favorite with a 42 over-under. Nick, what do you think of those numbers?
I really, really like these numbers. Seattle is not good. Okay. And so I actually like the under here, and I like San Francisco to cover the 9. I like almost like a 24 to like 10 game. Like I like the way that shapes up. I honestly, again, it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, if you have a couple of special teams plays by Seattle, then it changes. But Tyler Lockett's playing with a busted thumb, and I don't think they can score. That's it. So,
yeah, I could see that. Sorry, I switch into one of Bill Swirsky's super fans when the playoffs come. So you're gonna hear a lot of the Bears. All right, we're going Chargers Bears. Going into Jacksonville, and Jacksonville is a 1.5-point home dog with a 47.5 over under.
Yeah, this is a game I do not want to bet on. It's scary to me. Jacksonville, I've liked Jacksonville all year. If you've watched the show, they've cost me a lot of money because of their 8 freaking losses, right? But they have a very good team. The Chargers, on the other hand, if they're healthy, watch an injury report on this. If they're healthy on defense, I think they roll. This is going to be Lawrence's first taste of the playoffs. And good for Jacksonville. I am happy for them. I'm happy for, you know, drafting Lawrence and getting rid of Urban Meyer and bringing in Peterson, the former Packers quarterback. That team is going to do nothing but good for the next 3 or 4 years. And I would say for the next – after next year, start putting 20 to 50 bucks on them to win the Super Bowl. Right? Preseason.
I agree with that.
Preseason. Right? You probably won't, but that's going to pay you like freaking – it's going to pay you like $6,000, right? And they're on the right track, and they could sneak in like the Bengals did last year and maybe pull one off.
Yeah. All right. We got our Sunday games getting started, we got Miami going into Buffalo with a huge line. Buffalo is -13.5 with a 43.5 over under.
My favorite thing is I got on this game before they announced Tua out, and it was only 6 points, and I put the house on Buffalo. So at 13, I still put the house on Buffalo. Like, put it on them. Lock that up. Buffalo is going to bury the Dolphins. That's it.
All right.
I even take – what's the over?
43.5.
I might even take the over on that. Just that I think Buffalo might score 37 to 40 points themselves.
All right. We got the Giants going into Minnesota to play the big girls' favorite nickname, the Vikings. Minnesota's a 3-point favorite with a 48 over under.
All right. So here's where the NFL conspiracy comes in. I honestly think that the Vikings wanted the Packers in the playoffs, and they took a week off when they played Green Bay 2 weeks ago. I don't know what they didn't run a full game package. And they were a little banged up, but the Giants, I like the Vikings here. I like the Vikings here to win pretty easily, actually. But again, the Vikings always do something dumb in the third quarter to make it a close game.
They really do.
And it's like you just had to keep doing what you were doing. But I like the Vikings here big time. I'm not going to lock it, but it will be in a parlay.
Our primetime game has Baltimore going into Cincinnati. Cincinnati is an 8.5-point favorite at home with a 40.5 over under.
I mean, I'm going to take everything I won this year in the NFL, which is I'm plus like 350, which is a bad year for me. Usually I'm up in the thousands. But I'm up plus 350. I'm going to take all 350 of that and put it on the Bengals. Okay? Like, that's what I'm doing. Like, it's like they're just going to absolutely monster them. Okay?
Yes.
Monster them. Like, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye, Felicia.
Thank you for playing. Get your gifts on the way out the door. All right. Monday night. We got a game that everyone's going to be watching. Of course, it's Monday night. But it's Dallas going into Tampa Bay to play Tom Brady in what could be his final game. Who knows? But Brady is a 2.5-point dog at home with the 45.5 over-under.
So I'm going to take that 350, which is going to turn into about not quite 700 because of the odds. But I'm going to take about 685. And I'm going to dump all of that on Dallas. Okay? Because the last time that Dallas played in Tampa didn't go their way because of a bad call. But they also won tremendously huge over them after the next time. They are going to absolutely destroy Tampa Bay. All right. And again, Tampa, this is I will love the dog Tom Brady anytime I can. This is not a Tom Brady thing. This is they cannot keep him standing. All right, mm-hmm. And Dallas is just going to put the pressure on him and destroy them, absolutely destroy them. So I'm hoping to turn my measly plus 350 season into a plus 1,000 in the first weekend of the playoffs. Like that's about it.
Yeah, my son likes to watch our shows the next day, and I'm really sorry, buddy, but Tom Brady is not going to win Monday night. They cannot protect him. They cannot keep him safe, and he's almost 50 years old. He's not meant to be back there escaping pockets and stepping up and taking pressure.
They have zero offensive linemen.
It's a bad final year for him. It's a bummer because I'd love to see this be the Cowboys against the Buccaneers a couple years ago. You know, that would have been a lot of fun to watch, but I think that the big girl is dead on here, and Dallas rolls.
And here's some more insider information. Guess who didn't make the All-Pro team, who actually tweeted about it? Micah Parsons. Okay? And he goes, I think that was the wrong vote, but cheers to everyone that made it. You deserve it. I'm concentrated on the playoffs. Well, obviously you're not because you tweeted about it, right? But that's one. That's one. But
yeah, well, not in this moment, you're not, Micah.
That too, but Micah's going to come off, going to come unglued in this game. I think he has like four sacks. Like, I mean, if you prop bet that you can find Micah Parsons with like two sacks, like, do it. I think he has two, right? And that might actually be like a plus 400 or 500, something to look at for that. But again, it's the playoffs and the ball bounces either way. Like, I'm going to cry about the Packer game again. Even when Jones fumbled, you see Robert Tonyan, the smart player that he is, put his foot out of bounds and try to touch the ball. Like, you don't really pick up on things like that, but that's how intelligent Robert Tonyan is. Like, he could have went right for the ball, but he decided to step out of bounds first, because what happens when you touch it? It's dead. Right? So I still think he touched that ball, but we're not going to get into it. We're not going to cry about it. Like, I am crying about it. Damn it, Joe. You, Joe. I'm out of here. No, anyways.
Welcome to what it feels like to be a Lions fan in the first round of the playoffs. For the draft.
We are not even near being a Lions fan. But, I mean, I know my grandpa, God rest his soul, knows what that feels like. But my dad and I don't know what that feels like. It's just that long a domination. But either way, hey, thanks for watching, guys. Thanks to you that are listening later. I know you get a lot of people that listen later, especially Dan Dexter. Okay, Dan. All right, so guys, sorry that I have to drag this on a little bit, but I'm playing this.
You're told, Dan.
Right, and yeah, he actually does. And I feel bad. The one time we went to Vegas, it was like our worst betting weekend of all time for the show. But I did a pick 'em league this year, and I won this said pick 'em league, and it was for a nice bottle of bourbon. And this bourbon is coming my way. Somebody else wanted to join the pick 'em league and wanted to play for a couple hundred bucks, winner take all, right? I'm just saying, my two officer friends in the United States Army, not going to say them by name, all right, we're saying, oh, we were just playing for bourbon. Okay.
Last time I checked, you can make a good bottle of bourbon and $200 look very similar.
Right. Right. Same. So, but either way, guys, hey, thanks for watching. We have a really cool show coming up tomorrow. The Trash Talk Hour is back off of its vacation as well. And we have Erica Anderson coming on. She's an author of Don't Kill Your Business. And she's a retired Army Jagoff. All right, so we get a chance to talk some legal biz with her. And she's also a professor at the Yale of the Southwest, which Bill knows nothing about. And
I'm too busy going to the Harvard of the Southwest.
You're right. You're actually at an institution that people know, so you can't even say it. nobody knows, but I say UTEP, what that even means. So I can hide it.
Go Miners.
Yeah, go Miners. Picks out, right? Anyways, yeah. Hey, can't wait to see you guys tomorrow. And again, go to shop.veterantrashtalk.com. Go to gruntworkclothing.com. Put in the code BTTGW. Get a discount. And I always remember, this platform was started, all right, as an avenue for everyone to come out and come together, regardless of your race, creed, religion, color, and actual EO area that you can come and talk as a veteran and anybody who supports veterans and help each other. All right. That's what we're here. That's what we're here about, to help veterans. And what we've been able to do is vet a lot of nonprofits and find out what nonprofits are doing what, especially with that, because there's 46,000 now as of 2023, 46,000 veteran nonprofits. One of our favorite ones, all right, is Gold Star Teen Adventures. So, Bill, send it off that way.
Hey, actually, perfect timing. Once again, Gold Star Teen Adventures was an organization started by an old 3rd Group officer who's actually a brigade commander out at Fort Jackson now. They take all our Gold Star kids. For those who don't know who those are kids of our fallen brothers and sisters. And through time, they have now expanded it over to kids of fallen police officers and first responders. But they bring all these kids together and they take them on hunting trips, you know, ski trips, scuba trips, all types of camps, and they help them get into colleges. And they've actually just opened up their new applications for next year. This upcoming summer's trip. So if you know anybody, please pass them along. Doesn't matter what state, give them a call, go to the website or anything. Just donate a couple bucks. Do what Joe and I do. Make it your birthday thing at Facebook. We've been able to raise thousands for these. And all of these proceeds goes towards helping these kids. So Gold Stars Teen Adventures. Gold Star Teen Adventures.
I see. Usually I'm the one that screws that up, but not this time. The issue is Bill Sober. Because he has to go hang out with it. Like, who is, hey, can we
Sober get into a
little,
bird.
Can we get into a little bit? Like, who is this person that you're trying to impress? Like, why are you so, like you seem nervous.
Dude, it is. Okay. It's where, well, I always got to make my wife happy. And I mean, my wife wants to hang out with her sister-in-law at Topgolf in Seattle. So we got to
get her there. Sister-in-law or your sister-in-law?
No, it's my sister-in-law, Tamara's sister.
So, yeah, so she wants to hang out with her sister.
Yeah.
Why are you so nervous about
that? I'm not nervous. I just gotta get there.
I mean, we've known you for quite some time now, Bill, and it's just it seems like you're a little agitated. But
when I said we got to do this so early so I can get to a family
farm. No, I can just tell in your picks and stuff like that. You even screwed up your own nonprofit. So I'm just saying, like, do you need some time?
You looked a bit like Ben Stiller in Something About Mary trying to pin on the corsage.
Do you need
trying to impress some people?
Do you need our assistance?
Shut up, Farva.
Yeah.
Have you seen my SLS? Tamara beats me.
I've been seeing you doing this all night. Like he's literally
15 minutes ago, the first comment was Tamara saying, Hey, your shirt's ready, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, everybody say a quick prayer for Bill tonight because apparently he's going someplace that he doesn't want to go. Tamara, we didn't say that out loud. We did. Probably still watching.
Hey, it's 14 no. years of marriage. At this point, it's Stockholm Syndrome, so don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. I just hit 15, so I can say whatever. No, I'm good. Got over it. But anyways, we'll see you guys tomorrow on the Trash Talk Hour. 1700 Eastern time. All right.